T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI, hour number 2. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And really opening the show tonight with this realization that we are 2 weeks away from the Red Sox opening up spring training. And if you paid attention today, David Price made his spring training debut, and they're 2 weeks away from opening up their regular season. So they're in spring training right now. David Price, he pitches today, and he was fine, right? He was fine. 3 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, a couple of walks, and 4 strikeouts. But it got me thinking about last year and got me thinking about all the Red Sox review shows that we did and all the stuff that we talked about in the immediate aftermath of the Red Sox winning the World Series. And it was, there was this narrative that all was going to be forgiven when it came to David Price. All of a sudden, though, when David Price had that performance in the postseason, call it what you want, but much more than what we expected of him. Let's put it that way. All of a sudden, Boston fans, even after what he accomplished, were ready for this guy to announce, hey, you know what? I'm going to opt out of my deal. And we were excited that there was a possibility that he was going to become some other team's problem. And maybe he would thrive in a smaller market. Maybe he would thrive in a place where the microphones aren't in his face on a daily basis. I don't know. I'm not sure what makes that guy tick. I really am not sure at all. But I do know a lot more about Kyrie and the Celtics and their situation. And what I do know is all of a sudden around here a few weeks back, you know, that became the topic du jour, was this comparison between David Price and Kyrie Irving. Matter of fact, it was written about today in the Boston Globe. They made the comparison saying that, you know, Kyrie Irving, he has now taken over as the new David Price in this city. And I don't buy it. I really don't. In talking to you guys on a nightly basis here, I got to tell you that the moment that Kyrie Irving showed some contrition, the moment that Kyrie Irving realized the error of his ways and showed a small amount of humility, the moment that he backtracked on his comments and said, you know what, I was wrong, everybody forgave him immediately. It didn't take Kyrie Irving, you know, having a great performance in the NBA Finals and bringing an NBA championship to Boston for people to look the other way at sort of the month and a half worth of distraction and disparaging comments that he made to the media almost on a nightly basis. Because the media and the fan base in Boston had just about turned on Kyrie Irving. It got to the point where most fans were ready to say goodbye, say, you know what, we're better off without him. Whether I believe that or not is irrelevant. Those were the calls that I was taking. And, you know, we can call them emotionally charged Celtics fans all we want. But the fact of the matter is, there's one voice in this town that I respect pretty much more than anybody else's when it comes to the NBA and comes to basketball and comes to the Boston Celtics, and that's Bob Ryan. And Bob Ryan had had enough. He was shutting the games off. He said he would drive the guy to the airport. He didn't want him back here. It took 72 hours worth of Kyrie Irving being apologetic and showing some contrition, and the complete 180 that was done in the coverage of Kyrie Irving is absolutely amazing to me. And the complete 180 of Celtics fans and their willingness to embrace him once again and hope that he signs here long-term once again, you know, is amazing to me. And it's in stark contrast to the way that we continue to look at David Price, despite the fact that David Price performed at a very high level on the biggest possible stage. And you could certainly make the argument that the Red Sox, they don't win the World Series without him. Whether you love the guy or hate the guy, the facts are they probably don't accomplish what they accomplished last year without him. And yet that is still not enough for most Red Sox fans to fully embrace this guy, to fully trust this guy, and to buy completely in to the David Price experience, to the point where I still feel like if we put a poll out there tonight, if we put a poll out there right now and said, you know, what percentage of Red Sox fans had hoped that David Price would have opted out of his contract, you know, going into the postseason, going into the offseason, I feel like clearly more than 50%, probably closer to 60 or 70% of Red Sox fans, if they were given some truth serum, would absolutely have said, you know what, you know, thanks, David Price, for all you did in the postseason, but, you know, go become somebody else's problem. You know, go to another market, go to another city. We are not ready to fully embrace you here in the city of Boston. And now he's stuck here for like the next 4 years. He's not going anywhere. And now we've got to learn to like the guy, I guess. But I don't have a lot of expectations for him. I don't think that he has necessarily turned a corner. I don't think that he's necessarily become a different pitcher or a different person. Matter of fact, I feel like the first time that he hit some adversity in this new season that's 2 weeks away from starting, I feel like the first time he goes into New York and struggles, the first time he has got a problem with his unique shoulder and he reminds us of his unique shoulder, the first time he's got to go out there and pitch a game where it's 40 degrees out and he starts talking about the tingling in his arms and in his extremities because he's been dealing with that since he was a child. I mean, when all that BS kicks up again, I feel like Red Sox fans are going to be like me and just be like, shut up, dude. We don't want to hear this. There's very little room for David Price's BS in our world any longer. And I feel like, you know, usually in this city, in this media market, with our teams, if you win at the highest level, it buys you a certain amount of goodwill. But for whatever the reason, I feel like that wasn't bought with David Price at all. Maybe it should have been, but it hasn't been. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with these calls. Let's go to John. John's in the car. John, you're next up here on WEEI.
How you doing? I just want to change it up a little. I'll talk about the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, you know, you brought up about Patterson, 2 years, $5 million a year, and you look at Edelman, and he's playing for the Pats, making $5.5 million, which shows you, unfortunately, these receivers right now this year, they're getting overpaid, you know?
Yeah, it's a bit of a bubble right now with the receivers in the NFL. I mean, the money that's going out there. Look at Cordell Patterson. He's got potential. I mean, we saw him flash the potential a few times here in New England, but to suggest that he makes virtually the same money as a guy like Edelman, and we were legitimately having a debate on the air here, what, 6 weeks ago, about Edelman and his Hall of Fame credentials. You know what I mean? It's completely bananas when you look at the similarity in their salaries now.
Yeah, I was hoping that, and he's still on still out there, Tate?
Yep, Golden Tate.
Yeah, I think the Pats are going to hopefully sign him, you know?
I mean, he's somebody that's been attached to the Patriots in rumors for the last couple of years, and we know that there's mutual interest there on both sides. I personally, John, I love how the NFL right now is in this frenzy period, and everybody's busy signing free agents, spending all their money. There's big trades going down, and in the meantime, there's pictures of Belichick and his girlfriend on the beach. Like, he just doesn't seem to engage. He doesn't care right now because he's got a plan, and I feel like we've all got faith in Belichick that he's got a plan, and he's sort of laughing, sitting back, watching these teams give guys like Cordell Patterson, you know, $5 million a year.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I think I might be, you know, wishful thinking, but I think he's going to get paid, and he already knows that, so, you know.
I hope you're right, because the Patriots, they do need to improve their receiving core. There's no getting around that fact, John. I feel like the Patriots, they made a huge step in the right direction last year. In that direction is, of course, prolonging the productivity of Tom Brady's career. Meaning what they did last year by focusing in on the offensive line, focusing in on the run game, focusing in on really alleviating some of the pressure that Tom Brady had been feeling over the previous 18 years, having another legitimate option out there to run your offense through. You know, at times making Tom Brady and the pass offense secondary to the run offense, it really changed the dynamic of this football team. And it was all done by design by Bill Belichick. It absolutely was. Now, there was a lot of criticism thrown Belichick's way and the Patriots' way early on in the season last year. You know, there was quite a few nicknames. Mark James had a nickname for Sonny Michel. You had Felger and Maz with their own nickname for Sonny Michel. But the fact of the matter is, it worked. And I feel like the next step in that direction is to surround Tom Brady with some A-list type talent. You know, they don't have to be the biggest names out there, but guys that Tom Brady can absolutely depend on, absolutely trust. And whether a guy like Golden Tate makes his way here or not, I think that that's a strong possibility. I really do, because he's been attached to the Patriots for a couple of years now. But I was disappointed that they didn't bring back Danny Amendola. I'm not going to lie to you there. Well, I don't think he's necessarily an A-list type talent. He's somebody that's in Tom Brady's circle of trust. And whether, you know, you're like me and you believe that Gronk is going to come back, you know, that still doesn't solve your primary problem at receiver. I mean, he's a very talented tight end, and he certainly flashed in the postseason, and he showed that he was still capable of being a dynamic, you know, difference-making offensive player. But he's not going to be the guy that he once was a few years ago throughout, you know, the course of a regular season. He's going to, if he comes back, we're going to see a lot, a similar productivity to what you saw last year. And that seemed to frustrate some Patriots fans. So some new blood in this receiving core could go a long way. But it's clear to me, it's clear to anybody that's paying attention, that that is not the primary target right now for Bill Belichick. He's not in Foxborough. Meanwhile, all of these other teams are out there. You know, it's an absolute frenzy out there. It's a you-know-what show. They can't wait to open up their checkbooks and spend their money. There's dynamic players changing addresses every hour. And the Patriots, they're just sitting back, and they're sort of biding their time. And that tells me that Belichick, he 1,000% has got a plan. There is no way that he's out there vacationing, allowing pictures of himself being taken, where it looks like he put on a few pounds, by the way. There's no way he's out there enjoying himself while everybody else is working their asses off, and he doesn't have a plan. He knows exactly what he's going to try and accomplish. And let's not forget the Patriots. They've got a tremendous amount of draft capital coming up. So that might be their ultimate plan, is to nail the draft. I don't know. But we'll see. The one thing that I learned last year, being ultra critical of the Patriots throughout their regular season struggles, is I'm crazy. You know, I'm stupid. Why would I do that? Because history tells me that this team always finds a way. And until they don't find a way, I'm going to tone it down on the criticism of this team. I think last year, you know, if this were 12 months ago and the rest of the NFL was out there throwing around the kind of money that they're throwing around right now, if this were 12 months ago and there was all this action in free agency, all these major trades taking place, and I saw pictures of Belichick and his girlfriend on the beach, I would have been pissed off. I absolutely would have been angry with the team for not being out there, you know, on the front lines trying to do everything in their power to prolong Tom Brady's productivity, right? Because that to me was their biggest sin of the offseason last year, was going into the regular season without having sort of any idea what their receiving core was really going to look like. They went into the regular season with far too many question marks. But ultimately, the team, they found a way, they had a plan, they executed the plan, and they came out on top. So I think they've earned enough goodwill in my book to understand why they might not be participating so early on in free agency. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I see you guys there. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It is late night right here on Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we'll talk some specific Celtic stuff coming up in the next hour. But really, you know, the beginning parts of this show took on a life of their own, and with good reason, because, you know, here we are 2 weeks away from the beginnings of a new Red Sox season, right? And the guy that brought so much of our attention and ire last year and really got people frustrated and upset over the last few years here in New England has been David Price. And he's also the same guy that went out and was outstanding in the postseason last year. He was. He was so much more than what we should have expected of him, what we could have expected of him, and what we did expect of him based on his complete inability to perform in large stages, not just the postseason stage, but also on the road in New York. I mean, literally choosing to bag out of games, making excuses, talking about, you know, he's got lack of feeling in his fingers and toes when it's cold outside, and, you know, the Fortnite stuff and the Dennis Eckersley stuff, everything that's been part of the David Price experience here in Boston since he showed up. And it's funny because one of the narratives that was perpetuated here and perpetuated on the other station in the immediate aftermath of the Red Sox winning the World Series was this thing where all was going to be forgiven when it came to David Price, because the Red Sox won the World Series and David Price, he played a large role in the Red Sox accomplishing that. But I don't feel that that's the case at all. I feel like I took calls here immediately, like the day after the Red Sox won the World Series. We did an entire 4-hour show, and I'm going to tell you right now, 3 out of those 4 hours, we can go back and find it, but 3 out of those 4 hours were dominated with Red Sox fans feeling optimistic and hopeful that now that the Red Sox had won the World Series, David Price had performed well on that stage, maybe that was going to be enough to propel him to have the balls to opt out of his contract. You know, to have the, I don't know, maybe the false hope, false knowledge, some sort of false optimism that if he does opt out of his contract, that there'll be other teams lining up to at least pay him somewhere close to what he's getting here in Boston. But that wasn't the case at all. He made it known almost immediately that he was going to opt in and he was going to stick around here in Boston. So he remains Boston's problem, Boston's pitcher, Boston's guy for the next few years here. And I'm not feeling the love for David Price at all. And David Price, he has really dug his own grave here. And he's dug his own grave, I feel, off the field more than on the field. It's one thing to struggle on the field. But when you struggle on the field and then you compound it with his complete lack of self-awareness when he's talking to the media and when he's tweeting and his complete inability to accept some responsibility and blame unto himself, I feel like that is the ultimate sin here in this city. And it's in stark contrast to everything that we've experienced here as Celtics fans with Kyrie Irving. Because when Kyrie Irving got here, the optimism was through the roof. And really, that optimism remained until about 2 months into this season. And then all of a sudden, everybody's tune changed when Kyrie Irving's tune changed, when he was unwilling to sort of recommit to the Boston Celtics, in the media at least, and when he was seemingly entertaining the thought of going to the New York Knicks. And you know, suddenly that broken relationship that he had with LeBron James that everybody loved around here because we don't like LeBron James, so we felt this kinship with Kyrie Irving. You don't like LeBron, we don't like LeBron. We're the same. That's what we felt like as Celtics fans. Suddenly that was out the window. And then Kyrie continued to dig his own grave, and with each and every time that he was involved with the media scrum and post-game press conferences, he would continue to dig that grave even deeper and deeper and deeper. And then all of a sudden, this magical plane ride, he does a 180. Attitude changes, perspective changes, and the way in which he addressed the media completely changed. And rather than just addressing the media with that change, he came out and he apologized. He admitted his own mistakes. He accepted his truth. You know, and that's something that, whether he meant it or not, that's something that we love around here because we love a good story like that. You know, we love a guy that learns to embrace his situation here in Boston. And David Price was never intelligent enough to do that. So it's funny to me that we sat here for weeks talking about Kyrie Irving being the new David Price. Yet it took only 72 hours from the time that Kyrie Irving changed his tune to where we're at now, where I feel like Celtics fans, after a 3-1 road trip and Kyrie Irving, you know, being the captain of the good ship Lollipop over there in Boston now with the Celtics, everybody's back on the Kyrie Irving bandwagon and ready for this guy to recommit to the Celtics and sign long-term and become a cornerstone of this franchise for the next handful of years. Meanwhile, David Price proved it on the biggest stage, and people are still unwilling and unable to embrace that guy in this city. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with these calls. Let's go to Pierre. Pierre's in Portland. Pierre, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Mr. Gilroy, how you doing?
Hey, Pierre, what's on your mind, man?
Well, I'm trying to chase you, like, with your thoughts, and I'm not really sure, like, where you're going.
Well, I mean, if you want me to sort of explain myself again, it's just sitting here doing Red Sox review for the last couple of years, taking people's phone calls before the Red Sox made their postseason run, after they made their postseason run. I felt like, because David Price performed as well as he did in the postseason, I felt like Red Sox fans were going to be ready to forgive and forget and move on. But that's not what I got. I got people that wanted David Price to opt out of his contract. And now going into this new season, here we are 2 weeks away from opening day, and people still, they're not completely sold on David Price. Meanwhile, you know, on this station, on the other station, as soon as Kyrie Irving sort of soured on Boston for, what, a 5-6 week period, we were suddenly comparing him to David Price, calling him the new David Price. And all it took was Kyrie Irving changing his tone in the media for a couple of days, and suddenly all is forgiven. Kyrie hasn't won a thing here, yet we are ready to re-embrace that guy. So what makes him different than David Price? That's all I'm saying is, why are Celtics fans ready to re-embrace Kyrie Irving? Meanwhile, Red Sox fans are unwilling or unable to completely embrace David Price.
I get it. Here, you want your answer?
Absolutely.
This is the
answer. Yeah.
This is the answer. If it's all about, like, people who are understanding the answer to the problem is that in basketball, it is incredibly hard to get your team better. You have to accept the divinish, if that's a word, of what is ever being thrown your way. Like, you got to chase, like, think about how, like, when they try to get Durant. Remember
yep.
when they tried to get Durant?
Yep.
Remember who they threw at Durant?
Who, Tom Brady?
Yeah, Tom Brady, Al Horford. They had just signed Al Horford.
But Pierre, their critical mistake was sending Kelly Olynyk in a tie-dye T-shirt.
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly. That's the thing. It's like in the NBA, like there's a divaness in every single sport, and in the NBA, it is the highest. And like it's just so hard to get so good. It's so hard to get good in the NBA, and it's hard to get good in Major League Baseball. But it's different. As we all are seeing, it's changing. And then there's football where there's not the non-guaranteed contracts. So it's like, it's very frustrating, of course. Yes, I agree.
Hey, Pierre, and if David Price were an NBA player with his mentality, his attitude, do you think people would be over it, they'd forgive and forget because it's the NBA and it's what we expect?
Hold on. That's almost like a math question. All right, hold on. So if David Price. Well, the thing is, David Price, he completed the task of off-season tasks, and in the NBA, he'd be all set.
Yeah, he'd fit right in. Yep.
Yeah, he'd fit right in. He'd be good. In baseball, but then you got to throw in the variable of like baseball is just it's got a weird like. Old, like, oh, that, get off my lawn.
Yep. No, I'm with you.
Mentality.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like, I learned a long time ago, as a fan, like, if you want to continue to be a fan, you have got to put up with the divinousness of these players and the misfunction, the malfunction, and the dysfunction, like everything. It's like, I mean, like, I'm getting pretty close to not being an NBA fan because as we all see all the what's going on with the NBA.
No, but, it's been tough. I mean, and I feel like, Pierre, we've been insulated as Celtics fans. Good stuff there. And I talked about this last week, but I think it's worth repeating. With the exception of Kyrie Irving, we have been absolutely insulated from the total NBA experience with their star players over the last 10 years and really where this thing has gone. It's gotten to the point where this whole thing with Russell Westbrook in Utah last night and now James Dolan, owner of the Knicks, essentially removing a fan and banning him for life because the fan simply suggested you should sell the team. I mean, not for nothing. That's nothing to say to an owner. You think that when the Gastons owned the Celtics and the Celtics were one of the most mismanaged franchises in the NBA, that when Paul Gaston actually showed up at the Garden at the time, that he didn't hear things like that? You think Jeremy Jacobs hasn't been absolutely crushed in the Garden in years past when he showed up there? I mean, it comes with the territory of owning a team. But these players now, these owners, they're all too thin-skinned. They think that they are the story, they are the man, and sometimes it's difficult to watch. I'm 1,000% with you, and especially here because of the insulation that we've experienced. Think about this for a moment. Yeah, you know, there's some level of, you know, Rajon Rondo being a diva, and Ray Allen was simply, he was absolutely guilty of being sort of diva-ish, if you want to use that word. But for the most part, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, those guys were old-school, grinded-out superstars that put the Celtic team first. They put the name on the front of their jersey before the name on the back of their jersey. And Doc Rivers was the right guy to hold that team together for, 4.5 years before it started coming apart at the seams. But by that time, they'd already won their championship and gone back to a Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So their best of that team had already experienced its runs when it started to come apart at the seams. And the divas on that team weren't even the biggest stars on that team. The divas were Rondo and Ray Allen. Meanwhile, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett were the absolute face of that franchise. And they wanted to be here. They were blue-collar, hardworking NBA superstars. Really, you know, shades of the past with guys like that. And then the next superstar that the Celtics got was Al Horford, who is a quiet leader who just does his thing. And then it was Isaiah Thomas, who exploded onto the scene here and was so grateful for the opportunities that were given to him and the opportunities that he earned here. And when he exploded and became a 2-time All-Star and in his second year here, when he finished 5th in the MVP race and averaged close to 30 points a night, all he talked about was wanting to be in Boston for the long term. You know, he talked about the Brinks truck, but he did it with a smile on his face. He seemed genuine, and fans could accept that because Every time he opened his mouth, he said something endearing and positive about the city of Boston, the Boston Celtics, and the fans. And as a matter of fact, he said it yesterday because IT is coming back to Boston next week for the first time he's going to play since he was injured here 2 years ago in the playoffs when he took the Celtics to Game 5 of the Conference Finals. That was the same postseason where he played with the injured hip, where he fractured his jaw, lost two of his teeth, and his sister died, and he played through the whole thing. So he's coming back to the Garden next week for the first time since then, and he was asked about it. And while there's a certain segment of Celtics fans that feel like IT was done dirty by Danny Ainge here, he feels no ill will towards the franchise, says he can't wait to come back here, experience the Garden, connect with his old friends, and be in the city that he loves so much. You know what I mean? So he still loves it here. So that's the type of superstars that we've had here. We haven't had a guy like Kyrie Irving who is all about the brand of Kyrie Irving more than he's about the Boston Celtics. So that's been a little bit of a difficult adjustment, but I feel like he's adjusted better. I feel like he's adjusted better than David Price. I really do. David Price still doesn't get it. He still doesn't understand that all he has to do to appease Boston fans is shut his mouth and show a smidge of humility. And maybe lose the sunglasses, you know, when you're giving an interview on camera with ESPN. Maybe, just maybe. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. Let's grab another one here before the break. Let's go to Blair. Blair's in Maine. Blair, what's going on, my friend?
Well, I'm thinking about you going to Las Vegas, man. Couple drinks, margaritas, tequila, you know, little cowboy hat for you, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Sit out there, get me a... Man, I wish I could go with you, man. I'd just wear my cowboy hat, my swim shorts. Man, I'd get chicks all over me like no other.
Yeah, I have disappointing.
And I still have five chicks in my hotel room, and you name it.
Well, Paul, now, you got to do it.
I mean, about this Boston
Blair,
thing.
Blair, do it. Go to Vegas, brother. Go to Vegas.
Vegas is where it happens.
You know?
You know, you just got to...
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, fellas.
That's where it's all at. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And when you come back to Maine, you don't tell nobody what happened.
You certainly don't tell your mother, Blair. That's for sure.
Oh, you tell your mother, you're screwed.
What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, no, I can't wait because I'm going to a concert. And, I'm wearing my cowboy hat for that one.
I know.
It's Florida Georgia Line.
Yep, I know.
And
you're very excited.
A wonderful one.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, talking about girls, man, I can't get, man, girls are girls, man. Just got to be careful. You got to choose the right one.
You got to play on, Blair. That's my advice to you, just play on.
It's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
But David Price?
Yes.
It just depends. If he can pitch a whole nine innings would be great. Then that's a complete game.
Yes.
That's a complete game shutout if he can pitch nine innings and not get blasted. Now, we don't know if he's going to pitch to start, right? Could it be Chris Sale or David Price? Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't mind seeing Chris Sale coming out the first game and pitching and showing what he does. You know, it's good stuff. Anyways... You know, they're not showing anything really good right now, the Red Sox. They've shown nothing good right now in spring training. They got me worried right now.
Blair.
I don't know if they're going to sign our closer. They've been saying things like they want to, like, you know, I go for 6 or 7 years for a deal, you know.
With Kimbrel?
I give them the biggest contract he can give them, and then we have our closer back.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Kimbrel's holding out for a big contract, and I don't think the Red Sox or anybody else is going to give him 6 or 7 years. But Blair, just put this whole conversation in perspective for me real quick. So let's say that you know, you and your mom, you get in the car tomorrow, and she takes you shopping. And there's two shirts in front of you. She says, buy one. One's a Kyrie Irving jersey. One's a David Price jersey. Which one does Blair in Maine, local celebrity, pick up?
Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
And I will be wearing that out there. And Boston, hoping that you stick with your deal, because I want to make sure you do that, because I have, even though we lost to the Clippers, I was like, how in the heck do they play that game like they played? They played so pathetic the other night against the Clippers. It was awful. I had it on in the second quarter, and then I didn't watch the third because it was so bad. They were losing. They did not play like they should play against the Clippers. Let alone the Clippers that are not going to make the playoffs, probably. let alone we don't play that great against another Los Angeles team. Now that we've lost to them twice, it is pathetic. But if we make it to the championship game and we were to win, you get me the hotel, I'll get my way down to Boston.
Blair, you know this with the air conditioner. I keep my promises. If the Celtics win the championship, we'll get you down here for the duck boats. I promised you that. I will live up to my promise, okay? It's what I do. I'll make sure that I take care of you. But that requires the Boston Celtics winning a championship. It requires this team exceeding all expectations and overcoming a tremendous amount of obstacles that they've had this season. Is it possible? Absolutely. Is it likely? I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but it's not likely. Certainly possible, but not likely. Did you hear what Blair said, though, when he started the call? He said that he wished he could come to Vegas with me because he would have five chicks all over him. That's what he said. He'd be fighting them off. I want to be more like Blair. I don't have five chicks fighting all over me.
Hashtag be like Blair.
Hashtag be like Blair. It is sports
radio. We're making t-shirts.
It is sports radio. WEI, my name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, if you're on the line, stay on the line. I see you guys there. I promise you we'll get to more of your phone calls when we come back right here on sports radio, WEI. Everybody's back on the Kyrie Irving bandwagon and ready for this guy to recommit to the Celtics and sign long-term and become a cornerstone of this franchise for the next handful of years. Meanwhile, David Price proved it on the biggest stage, and people are still unwilling and unable to embrace that guy in this city.
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
People like the media, man, they don't understand what kind of problems and pressures.
I hold all the cards now.
It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937, talking about David Price, Kyrie Irving, and why we're so quick to forgive and forget. You know, as Kyrie really started mishandling the media and, I don't know, turning off Celtics fans, he really did. Go back about 6 weeks, and you go back to the original comments about LeBron James and, you know, the rekindling of their friendship. That certainly alienated a certain segment of Celtics fans. You go to each and every one of his post-game comments as the Celtics really started tumbling in the standings and tumbling in the hearts and minds of Celtics fans across New England. They did. Let's face it. This team has been wildly disappointing for most of the season this year, despite what they just accomplished on this road trip. So as Kyrie was digging his own grave and continuing to dig it deeper and deeper and deeper with each post-game press conference, with each comment to the media, with each social media interaction, what happened? He seemed to wise up on his flight out west last week, whether it was because of a conversation he had with Danny Ainge, conversation he had with Brad Stevens, conversation he had with his teammates, conversation he had with his agent. I don't know. But for whatever the reason, when he got off that plane out west last week, he was a different guy, singing a different tune. And while he was changing his tune about, you know, his future here with the Celtics, about the potential for this year's Celtics team, he also did something that David Price has been unwilling and unable to do, was he took some personal accountability, a level of personal accountability, showed some humility, corrected the error of his ways. Now, we'll see if he's able to continue doing the right thing here as the Celtics embark on their final 15 games of the regular season. It's easy to continue to be the good guy when your team wins three consecutive games on the West Coast. Now, the Celtics, they lost their fourth game to the Clippers, and they got their asses kicked. So let's see what happens when they make their way back to the Garden on Thursday, and hopefully they beat the Kings and things continue to roll. But if the Celtics spiral and they lose 4 out of 5 here, it'll be very interesting to see if Kyrie reverts back to being an unlikable jerk as opposed to the nice, endearing guy that's kind of quirky and fun and, you know, somebody that I feel like Celtics fans really wanted to embrace. And the proof is right there that we wanted to embrace him, because what happened? The moment that he showed just a smidge of humility and showed that he was somewhat apologetic and realized that, you know, he had to take some personal accountability, Celtics fans did an instant 180. 48 to 72 hours after Kyrie Irving changed his tune, so did in Celtics fans, and their willingness and their desire for Kyrie Irving to remain here in Boston long term was reinforced that much more. Meanwhile, David Price, he's been here for a few years now. He continued to dig his own grave. But what do we always say in Boston? You know, what we want to see is you perform on the biggest stage and win. And that's exactly what David Price has done. that Kyrie Irving has not done, yet we are not willing as New England fans to fully embrace David Price the way that we're fully embracing Kyrie Irving. As a matter of fact, you know, while we have this strong desire to have Kyrie Irving re-sign with the Celtics and be a cornerstone piece here for years to come, there was a strong desire even after David Price was great in the postseason, even after he outperformed each and every expectation we could have had for him. What happened? We weren't satisfied. Red Sox fans, in the immediate aftermath, I'm talking 24 hours after the Red Sox won the World Series, a World Series that they don't win without David Price, their optimism, they were hopeful that this guy was going to opt out of his contract and that we had seen the last of David Price in a Red Sox uniform. It is such a stark contrast from one star to the other. And it's something that, you know, we're all the same group of fans. We root for both of these guys. What makes one somebody that we're willing to embrace despite the fact that he has committed a lot of the same sins that David Price has committed here in his few years here in Boston? So we're talking about that with you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Terry. Terry's in Portland. Terry, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, Patrick. Hey. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah. What's on your mind, Terry?
So just trying to compare this whole David Price, Kyrie Irving thing. You know, two different situations in my mind. I mean, I think – you know, we're gearing up for playoffs right now for the Celtics. And I think, you know, we have to embrace Kyrie Irving. We have to get on this bandwagon with him, you know, in light of some of this positive, you know, play that we've had over the past few games. So, you know, with David Price, it's like we've won. I think in the big picture, you know, we haven't really embraced this guy. And, yes, he did pull through with, you know, a big part of the World Series championship. And but I just think he's not the superstar, you know, comparable to the sport as Kyrie Irving is in basketball. And I think we feel like, in a sort of sense, we got what we got out of David Price, and I'm happy that he contributed to a win, and good for him. But in the big picture, you know, probably we just feel like, hey, you know, we got what we got out of David Price, and glad we got the win.
No, I'm with you there. I mean, Kyrie is one of the top 10, top 15 players in the NBA. He's one of the faces of the league. You know, when you compare salaries, though, and where they rank among their peers, I mean, David Price is one of the highest paid pitchers, if not the highest paid pitcher in baseball right now. So, you know, it's weird to me that, you know, he's a guy that gets paid the way that he does. But ultimately, he's thought of almost as a, you know, a number two starter at this point in his career.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear you. I just think we got to really, I mean, we kind of have to rally around Kyrie right now, too. I mean, we're going into the playoffs right now, and, you know, the Red Sox season's just starting again. So,
sure.
You know, we have to embrace this. We have to cross our fingers and hope we can find some, you know, some momentum, some, you know, chemistry, something, you know. I mean, I'm a big Boston fan for, you know, all the sports. And, you know, I just want to see the Celtics win. I think I want to see the Celtics win more than I'm cheering for Kyrie.
No, I'm with you there. But the two go hand in hand, Terry. You know, and that's the thing, that if you want to see the Celtics win, whether you are one of the people that believes that the Celtics are better without Kyrie Irving or not, I mean, that's a laughable statement to make, but there is a huge segment of Celtics fans that believe that this team is better in the long run without this guy. And while I'm the first guy to tell you that if you start a season today and you know, the Celtics have the talent that they have on the roster and Terry Rozier is their starting point guard and Kyrie Irving doesn't exist versus the same group of players with the same group of talent and you replace Rozier with Kyrie Irving, I feel like both teams win between 50 and 55 games. Kyrie Irving is a great player. He is a top 10 player. But his most meaningful moments come in the postseason. You know, the difference between Rozier and Kyrie Irving as far as their offensive output and their offensive potential in the regular season, look, Kyrie's a better player. He can create for himself, but Terry Rozier's fine. He would keep the Celtics within the same realm of wins. But it's the postseason where Kyrie Irving is missed, because what Kyrie Irving does that Rozier doesn't do, what Kyrie Irving does better than just about any other guard in the NBA is he's got this unique and innate ability to create his own shot. And we all know what happens in the postseason when the opposing head coach has got seven games to game plan for your team. The offense breaks down. We can talk about pace and space, 3-and-D. We can talk about moving without the ball, and the best shot is the open shot all we want. And those things are all staples and fundamentals to win you regular season basketball games. But in the closing 6 minutes of a playoff game, of a playoff series, we saw it first and foremost last year, front and center, Celtics and Cavaliers, Game 7 at the Garden. Celtics are up one with 5 minutes to go, but they didn't have anybody on that roster that was mature enough or had the skills enough to create their own shot. And that's exactly where Kyrie Irving would have thrived and would have been the difference between the Celtics making the NBA Finals or going home and losing to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's stick with the calls here. Let's go to Rick. Rick's in Plymouth. Rick, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing, Pat?
Hey, Rick.
Don't usually call in tooth and edge. I'm usually out of state by now, but you piqued my interest on the David Price thing, as usual.
I appreciate it, Rick.
Okay. The motto of this town before 2001 was, wait till next year.
Sure.
The motto after 2001 is, what have you done for me lately? Okay. David Price, okay. Now that all the euphoria of the championship is gone and everyone's settled down, yeah, we got to raise the banner on opening day. I get it. But now everybody wants to know what David Price is really all about. Can he do this again? Can he keep it up? He's still under contract for three or four more years. And in this town, you're only as good as your last win.
Yep.
And if you're going to be a D-bag like David,
you
like
can
David Price,
you can say it, Rick. It's fine. I mean, yeah.
I wasn't going to do that, but
it's fine.
If you're going to be a tool like David Price has, and listen, this town has always embraced the players that want to play here. David Price has never been that guy, and he's never going to be that guy. And Boston knows it, and the fans of this town, no matter what Stephen A. Smith says, are the smartest sports fans in the world. And we know talent, and we know who wants to play here. He's not a Teddy Bruschi. He's not a Pedroia. He's not, you know, a Tom Brady or one of those guys. He's going to be the guy. He's a mercenary. He plays for a paycheck. And I'm surprised we got – look, you heard the apology I made to him after the World Series.
Yep.
I was on him all last year. You know it. Everyone knows it. I made no secret about it.
No, you're right. You're right about it. And, you know, you made your apology after the fact. But it's funny to me, Rick, because – There's this belief, this overwhelming belief here that in Boston, you know, if you win a championship, you are going to be revered and loved forever here. But David Price, he doesn't fit into that box. He doesn't fit into that category.
He doesn't fit into that category because he doesn't want to be. He's not a Red Sox, okay? He's like A-Rod. A-Rod was not a Yankee. David Price is not a Red Sox. The fans don't perceive him as a Red Sox.
Yeah. Look, it's a good point. We don't think of him as a true Red Sox player. You're 1,000% right about that. And you know, maybe that's the old school baseball mentality. I don't know. You know, maybe that's why there's a disconnect between the youth of America and Major League Baseball right now. But when I look at David Price and I walk through the city of Boston or in my travels from my day job, David Price is somebody that Red Sox fans or baseball fans in general still don't have this ability to love him. They don't want to love him. He's not somebody that we've learned to embrace despite the fact that he helped this team win a World Series. And we always thought here, the underlying belief and the overwhelming belief here, especially in the sports radio climate, whether it's this station or the other station, I mean, one of the most cliche things that we all say is once you win a championship here, you'll never have to buy a drink in this city again. Not for nothing, but you know, nobody's buying David Price a drink. Maybe in the immediate aftermath, 24, 48 hours after the World Series victory, and you know, as Rick put it, the euphoria of winning the World Series was still fresh and new. But now, nope. I don't feel like Red Sox fans are ready to embrace that guy at all. And meanwhile, Kyrie Irving for the Celtics hasn't won squat. And Celtics fans, green teamers, myself included, we want Danny Ainge to throw the world at this guy. 5 years, max money, you know, sign him up for the long term. When Kyrie, I mean, you could certainly make the comparison, make the debate, have the argument that he has committed a lot of the same sins, at least publicly, that David Price has committed in his first few years here in Boston. Let's grab one more here before the break. Let's go to Mark. Mark's in Brookline. Mark, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing?
Good, Mark. What's on your mind, man?
A lot of good points there. I think it is curious. I had 2 points to add on. I thought those were good points both last callers made. The first one I'd bring up is that I consider Irving just generally more likable. First of all, you've taught me everything I know about baseball. I mean, basketball pretty much, but I know the other sports pretty good, but thank you very much. But I see Irving is going from very likable to questionable. He toggles between the two, and I see Price going from questionable to horrid.
Sure.
I mean, he's just not likable. And I think the last call I got into it with not really being a Red Sox or whatever. He's just not very likable. In fact, he hardly endears himself to the fans at all. He just really hasn't. So that's, I think that's a, so we have a cool respect for him having won a championship. But I think that the actual likability is pretty low. The other point I'd make is that the indispensability, sure, they're both huge talents. Price was supposed to be a number one, but wasn't he maybe the number two starter for most of last year, I think?
Wasn't it interesting that the year after the Red Sox brought him in, what did they do? They went out, they felt like they needed to make another splash and bring in Chris Sale.
Good point. So that kind of dovetails with the point I'd make about Kyrie. Now, I know there's some awfully large talent on the Celtics team, too, as I've learned and followed them more closely. But Kyrie Irving seems to be essentially indispensable on that team. And this goes with that Terry guy's first point, I think, that they're sort of mid-season. But he seems essentially indispensable. I think you could make the argument that the Sox don't win the World Series last year without David Price. I think you've actually made that point.
Yep.
And I think that's a good one. But I think just in general theory, having, you know, a lineup of four very capable pitchers, you know, that one and two and sometimes three even toggle. I mean, look what they did with their pitching last year, Evaldi, you know the rest. That David Price doesn't stand out as being the indispensable, we could not win without you theoretically character that I see Kyrie as being. Maybe many Celtic players don't feel it. Celtic fans don't feel that way. Maybe you don't feel that way, but I feel from what I've seen is that he's the guy that takes you to that next level. And as you've taught me, in basketball, talent reigns.
It does, Mark. And listen, great stuff. I appreciate the phone call. Two great points there. And you know, it's funny because, you know, looking back at the World Series last year, Nathan Eovaldi was absolutely, you know, the star of the World Series, of the postseason run. And he got paid to be that star. You know, he got paid in the offseason because of it. And God bless him for doing it. We'll see if he's able to keep it up and live up to his new contractual obligations and his new contractual sort of hype that's going to come with him getting paid as a legitimate pitcher now, because that's exactly what he got paid as, and he earned that money. And David Price is never going to be able to live up to his contract. He's always going to be chasing that number at the end of the day. But I feel like we can move beyond the contractual obligations that these guys have signed up for. We really can. If David Price were willing to look into the camera and say, look, I effed up. I didn't fully appreciate you guys. I didn't fully appreciate what I had here in Boston. But now that we've won at the highest level, I can tell you right now, I love this city. I love the Boston Red Sox, and I want to finish my career here. If he could do that, deliver that 11-second message, be it through Twitter, be it on the news, be it on SportsCenter, it's amazing how that tide would turn when it comes to David Price. But he's such an arrogant SOB, he's simply unwilling to do it. He still feels like he is the story, and the Red Sox are secondary to David Price, and ultimately, that's why he will never be fully embraced here in the city the way that he could have, should have, and would have been. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It's late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. When we come back, we'll play you the latest comments from Stephen A. Smith. We're going to piggyback on what we did last night, so we'll open it up with the comments that he made that we talked about last night, and then we'll talk about the new comments that he made today, sort of trying to backtrack, but essentially doubling down on calling Boston a racist city. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.